Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I get a lot of questions from parents about why their kids walk funny, and some parents are really concerned. Parents ask about their kids' toes turning in, toes turning out, bow legs, knock knees, swinging their legs outward when they run, and toe walking. Falling and tripping is another big concern I hear. I've seen a lot of kids and a lot of kids with these issues. So I usually can tell what's normal and what's not just by watching a child and examining them. The most basic answer I can give parents to reassure is that any kids under age 3, they're called toddlers, right? And toddling means to walk with a short, unsteady gait, or in other words, walk like a toddler. If your child is under age 3 and they walk funny, it's almost always normal. I don't really have a better way to explain why this is normal. When parents aren't reassured by my simple explanation, I refer the child to be evaluated by a pediatric orthopedics doctor because, you know, they know more Latin and Greek words, so they can explain exactly why walking funny is fine. And they have a solid understanding of the mechanics of the lower limb to explain the situation better. Dr. Reed Nichols is a pediatric orthopedic surgeon at Nemours Children's Health in Wilmington, Delaware, and she's going to explain why kids walk funny and when you need to worry. I'm Dr. Wendy Hunter, and I'm the pediatrician next door. I'm that doctor friend you call for practical advice about your kids' health. I mix the science of medicine with the reality of parenting. Kids learn to walk about a year after birth, and before that, they spent months bound up in a ball with their knees squashed up against their chest. You know how you're a little stiff after you get off an airplane and it takes you a few seconds to walk normally? The same thing happens here, except they weren't on an hours-long ride. They were on a months-long ride. So you got to give kids some time for their legs to take on a normal shape. Pediatric orthopedic surgeon Dr. Nichols explains how kids' lower limbs change and what this means for the way they walk in their first years of walking.
There are so many things to know about a child's gait. Number one, let's talk about tripping. They trip and fall all the time because you know what? They're not gazelles. They are toddlers. So that is number one. And if they are tired or sick, they might do it even more. And that's okay. So the second part of that is that you might see that your toddler starts walking and then they pick up speed. And then they trip and fall a lot more. And we call that sudden deceleration syndrome because they're so excited about walking and doing, and they're moving and they don't understand that they actually have to slow down before said door is in their way. And that again is also okay. But the question really is why are they walking maybe with their feet really internally rotated? In-toeing is probably one of the biggest things that we could say, and we can put this all into a group. Number one, the in-toeing comes from two people, the mothers and the fathers, and three anatomic locations. So the three anatomic locations are the hips, the shins, and the feet. So when we look at the hips, there are two really interesting things going on. So for 9 or really 10 months, that baby has been typically in your belly with the knees up and out. The gluteal muscles or the butt muscles are contracted. And the feet are kind of wrapped around, the shins are wrapped around each other and the feet are curved so beautifully. Like think about those ultrasound pictures. They're cute as a button in there. So if you unwind them and they're out in the real world now, remember they were like this for a long time. So we see things, number one, they have what we call typically, not in every single case, they have what we call femoral antiversion. So femoral antiversion, if I was to put a baby on its belly, and it's usually not the babies, it's usually more of the toddlers, their hips, their ankles or their feet may be able to drop out to the outside, so their ankles almost touch. They also might W-sit when they have what we call femoral antiversion. And this is a Googleable thing. In towing in children, you can Google this one. I'm fine with that. When you're looking at the hips, you've got this version thing, so they have more internal rotation. So this is always hard to explain, except for when you're seeing it. So put your child on their belly and let their legs drop out to the side. If they go really, really far, and you're like, oh, that's an unnatural position, and they don't come in quite as much, and if you were to straighten those same legs, you would see that actually that is relative internal rotation of the legs. So the feet are kind of crossing over, the toes are pointing towards the inside. Now add that on to internal tibial torsion. So the child is still on their belly, and you bend their knees up and you look at the foot position relative to the thigh position, you'll see that the feet are actually pointing in. If I put one of us on our stomachs, typically our feet would be facing outward. So when you have everything pointing towards the inside, you have a tendency to have intoeing. Now, remember I said the gluteal muscles. So when a toddler begins to walk, you may see that the kneecaps face out if you see them in stance, and the feet face in, and now they look bow-legged. That's walking with their feet internal. And you're like, this is not going to get better. And actually, it does. It may look worse before it looks better. And that hip positioning is at first, because those gluteal muscles are contracted, that rotational part isn't necessarily playing quite as much of a role. But the gluteal muscles are holding the knees out, and that's why it looks even worse with the feet turning in. I can make myself look kind of bow-legged if I point my kneecaps out and point my feet in. So in the beginning, when the child begins to walk, they have a very wide base gait. Their feet may turn in. They toddle back and forth. And then as they get older, their feet come closer in together because their balance is better. And those gluteal muscles begin to loosen up. So then you see the effect of the femoral antiversion. And you might see the development of the W-sitting. So as they kind of go on this progression. And I think that's kind of complicated to explain. But in the beginning, the positioning of the in utero makes a big difference. As time goes on, those gluteal muscles get stronger and the legs come in closer. And now you might see still the in-toeing because of lots and lots of rotation in the hips. And it's so crazy, but that hip version gets better about a degree a year until skeletal maturity. All right, so now we've talked about the hips. We've talked about the shins being turned in because they were all so cute in that belly. And that takes till about, usually by 6, they start to rotate out. But then we haven't talked about the feet. Sometimes they look like little kidney beans. And that's metatarsus adductus typically. Clubfoot can affect the hind foot too. But if you see those toes turning in, especially when they're a baby and they play with their toes and they're so turned in, parents really sometimes get very stressed out about that. That metatarsus adductus or the turning in of just the front of the foot, that should get better. About 85% of them get better with time.
So I don't really know what I'm talking about when I reassure parents because I've seen a million kids like this and I can tell you what's normal and I can tell you what's not because I've seen a lot. What I usually tell parents, correct me if I'm wrong, is that if I can show you while the baby's lying down that they can get into a pretty normal position, I think that's reassuring. And then second, if they're symmetric, if both sides are about the same bow-legged or about the same in-toeing, I don't worry. Is there anything else we need to worry about? And am I right?
That's a pretty good start. And I think sometimes, all right, let's go right to bow-leggedness, okay? When you are examining your baby or you're a toddler, put the kneecaps facing the sky and then see where the curve is of the shin bone. Is it the whole thing or is it really right at the top? we see a lot of internal tibial torsion, which can be pretty profound. So that means that curvature of the shin bone is, and the foot's facing in, you're like, oh my gosh. And when they walk, it can be also pretty profound. But if they're two, I'm going to let it go. I have to sit on my hands. But sometimes it's really tough. If it's really bad, then have someone be seen by a pediatric orthopedic surgeon, just because, you know, I like to see cute kids.
Dr. Nichols recommended that if you are worried about the way your child is walking, take a video every month or so that you can compare over time. You'll see that their gait is changing and becoming gradually and slowly more like an older kid's style walking. Your pediatrician is going to be happy to watch the video so they can assess what's normal and what's not normal. Next, we talked more about tripping and about W-sitting, which is when a child sits on their bottom with their ankles outside of their hips so their legs are in the shape of a W.
If there's a lot of tripping, I will always make sure their reflexes are good. Do I, have any concern that any other of their milestones is a problem? Number one. Number two, you made a comment before about symmetric, and I like that, but there's sometimes that you see some asymmetry when they're walking, that one foot turns in more than the other. That I used to get a little bit more worked up about, and the truth is that's probably very normal finding. If they're tripping and they've been sick, that's all sort of normal. So the answer is no, but if it is something that they trying to think what else, if there's some other milestone.
Okay. We're going to reframe this for every parent. We are never going to call it tripping ever again. We are only going to call it sudden deceleration syndrome.
And then we're going to call them toddlers, not gazelle.
Correct. Exactly. We have to picture something different.
So tripping and falling is super common. But if you're worried, things that I think about, is there a vision problem? Mm. I won't just stick below the belt. I really want to know, is there something else that's a milestone that they're not achieving that they should be? Have they noticed that they're really having trouble concentrating? Do they have torticollis? Something like that. If they hold their neck in one position. And I think the vision thing is an important thing. And are their reflexes symmetric? And then I'm like, I'm going to just watch this. If I get worried, and that would be if one of those differences was there, then I would consider doing a neurology consult.
So jumping ahead a little bit, those kids get a little bit older and you mentioned W sitting. So a child sits on the floor with their feet outside of their hips. That months ago was a horrible, horrible thing and we were supposed to correct it. But there's been a huge change. What happened?
Well, nothing really happened. Just we've been saying it for actually a long time. But Rachel Goldstein wrote an awesome article out by you. I think it's easy to Google. Really, it was about W sitting and does it impact the hip health? And it does not. So I was worried. I'm like, if you're picking your battles, like there's no reason. We don't have any reason to tell a child not to sit that way. That position is much more comfortable if, as we talked about before, if they're really stretchy in that direction, that's much more comfortable than sitting crisscross applesauce. Even my PA, she's like, I can't sit crisscross applesauce. She could sit in a W position much easier.
Haven't you found, though, are parents still asking you about going to physical therapy if their child's W-sitting? They're still asking me.
No, and the physical therapists are very adamant about not W-sitting. And it does not matter.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So you do not have to worry about that. I don't love the way it like positions your knees, but honestly, there are many other battles to fight, and that is not one of them. But hip dysplasia is for real.
You are a pediatric orthopedic surgeon, and that is important because the bone structure, everything is very different in children. So we see things in orthopedics and in pediatrics that are normal for a 2-year-old, but super abnormal for a 10-year-old. What about toe walking? When is that okay? When is that not okay?
So I actually see a lot of feet. I never knew that my life would be around stinky feet, but it is. And the stinkier, the better. But toe walking is that can be very physiologic. It can be no problem, but there is a time that it kind of crosses over and it can be associated with some some not great things. So I think toe walking is okay up to about 2.5. And then, and I'm not trying to encourage them to walk on their toes, but I think it's hard to tell a 2-year-old or an 18-month-old, don't walk on your toes. That's just sort of their normal thing. But after about 2.5, I do start to address it. And you start looking at your family. Who is anyone else walking on their toes? Is there a history of a short calf muscle or short gastroc syndrome? Is there any muscular dystrophy? Now, that would be a scary one to see. That can present as toe walking, and we might get some labs to look at that to see if we can diagnose it. I had two sisters come in once. This was a pretty tough day, and they were both toe walkers, and they just, they didn't have normal reflexes, and they both actually had muscular dystrophy. Like, you want to know how tight the calf muscle is, you know, how long have they been doing it? How often do you see the feet flat on the ground? And getting everybody to know that it's not that cute, that they're going up on their toes. Because it's, you know, if you have any habit, let's say it's not muscular dystrophy. We've drawn the lab, which is called a CPK. We know the family history is pretty, you know, everything's benign. And we just think that maybe it's a little sensory issue and they're up on their toes. It is becomes a habit too. I don't know, you know, if you ever have had a bad habit, but I've got plenty and they're really hard to break. The quicker I can feel like I can get to them and help them come down on their flat feet, the better off they do. And I do a whole bunch of combinations of things, whether, you know, and I did have somebody start crying once because I said that I would like to cast their 5-year-old, and I think I've changed my approach. In general, if we've ruled out the bad things, toe walking is not a life or limb problem. It is something I feel very strongly that we should address so they don't get made fun of in school, that it doesn't create osteopenia, which means that the bones are weak in the heel, doesn't put extra pressure on their knees anteriorly.
It wears out their socks really fast too.
Yeah, and their shoes, it's bad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not life or limb. So here's my a la carte menu that I will do. And well, for me, it becomes a conversation with the family. I think it's a problem. I want, let's work through it. If they have lots of range of motion, like the foot goes up and down, no problem. Okay, so now we have a behavioral issue. So we may make a penguin zone. So you make you have a fun art project with your child. You make a poster that maybe in this hallway leading from, you know, the front door to the kitchen or wherever, everybody, the whole family can only walk on their heels there like a penguin. They don't have to, you know, quack like a duck or do anything like that. But, you know, you make it very fun and engaging, and that we don't, you know, that's not cool. And then maybe you do some stretches just to sort of seal the deal. Well, let's say that's not working so hot. So the next thing, sure, you could do some physical therapy. All right. If that's not quite enough, you could put some braces on temporarily that go up the back of the ankle called AFOs, ankle foot orthoses, that allow for the foot to come up towards the ankle, dorsiflexion, but not go down so that they're up on their toes. And that's nice. You can do that as part-time wear, full-time wear. Or if you think that the foot, it's such a bad, you know, like such an ingrained behavior, maybe you have a really stubborn child, then you could consider having a cast on for a few weeks. So sometimes what I'll do is let's say I have the most stubborn kid, there is no chance that this kid is going to keep a brace on. So I might cast first. While I'm casting, the brace is being manufactured. So I lose no time. I go quickly into a brace. And maybe I wear the brace full time the whole day, and even to sleep in, like it was the cast. But because they've been in a cast for a few weeks, they're like, I'm never going back to that cast. And so then they transition to the brace. And then we try to wean the brace down as quickly as their behavior tolerates. And maybe I add PT to it. So it's sort of a mix and match depending on the personality of the child. But after 2.5, to answer your question, is when I think that's not a cool behavior anymore. Let's see if we can take care of it.
Perfect. I love the penguin zone.
Yes, the penguin zone. But you have to make sure that the whole family realizes it's super cute in that 2-year-old, but it is not super cute in the 3-year-old.
What about flat feet? When do we worry about that? And do you care as an orthopedist?
I do. I am the foot person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what you have to know is that there's development. So we had talked about the in-toeing part, and I had mentioned bow legs. And then what I didn't say is that when we have that femoral antiversion, that like when they like to sit like a W and all that, and let's say they're two, they might look really bow-legged, but then something weird happens. And you can Google this one too, alignment in children. It's such an interesting graft. So in the beginning, they look bow-legged, and then this starts to change. And for many, they become very knock-kneed around 3. And you're like, whoa, what in the world is going on? But I'm going to get to the foot part in a minute. And they may run a little funny. They have a heel whip. And you're like, oh my gosh, my husband and I, we played a lot of sports in college. And my kid was a little bit knock-kneed. I'm thinking, oh geez, we're never going to have a good athlete. But you just have to sit and wait. Because between 4 and 6, they start to straighten out. So very interesting, bow-legged down, then up to knock-kneed, then they straighten. So if you look at the feet, when I walk into the room, I'm already looking at the position of their arch. If their arch, what we call reconstitutes, or is present when they're just sitting in mom and dad's lap, fantastic. No worries. And if they stand up, which almost every 2 to 3-year-old does stand up and ka-plop, there goes the arch. Flat as a pancake. Do I worry? No. So that's a flexible flat foot. And no matter how much cement you put under that arch, doesn't make a difference. You can put an orthotic in. Now, I'll tell you when I do an orthotic, but it doesn't matter. What takes a flexible flat foot into a painful flat foot is when the Achilles or the heel cord is very tight. So in general, the thing that keeps the arch up against gravity is called the spring ligament that begins by some books at 2 to 4, but I usually say 3, and it's not like they open the textbook and bingo, there is the arch supporting that foot against gravity, boom. It doesn't happen like that. It develops over time. So it is very, very, very common to have a flexible flat foot 2, 3, 4 years, age 5. By 7, you got what you got. Some kids have really flat foot and you can see that the front of their foot is really turned out. You just need to look at the flexibility. Sometimes, some, very few times, I will put something in the shoe just to help the heel stay straighter so the Achilles or the heel cord doesn't get too tight. But, some people talk about chipmunks or SMOs or those little braces. And I'm okay for, part-time wear for those.
As the foot's developing, do kids need to wear shoes? Does that help? Is it good for them to be on their bare feet?
I don't think it makes a difference. And I just tell you to please go to the consignment shop for shoes because they're so expensive. So another great statistic for you. The foot grows to half of its adult length by 18 months.
Wow.
That's crazy, right? And it grows so rapidly till about 5. Try not to spend millions of dollars on that shoe wear. It doesn't really matter. And it does, there are plenty of places that kids never wear shoes. I just get shoes to protect their feet from the environment.
That's what I say too. Wear shoes to protect your feet from splinters and rocks. I wrote a post on my blog a few years ago about when kids should wear shoes and which shoes to choose. Check that out at drwendyhunter.com if you want more specific advice. The link is in the show notes. Thank you to Dr. Reed Nichols for teaching us why kids aren't gazelles and for reframing that what we might call tripping is also known as sudden deceleration syndrome. And that happens to the best of us. To hear more from Dr. Nichols, check out the bonus episode when she explains what orthopedics doctors want parents to know about swaddling and the effects on the developing skeleton, and how to prevent hip dysplasia, which is one of the most devastating but easily preventable conditions that those doctors see. Follow the show so you don't miss part 2 of our interview when we talk about the most important things to do for bone health at every age
and orthopedic issues that kids face as they grow. For more from the Pediatrician Next Door, find me on the web at pediatriciannextdoorpodcast.com. If you've got a question about the weird things kids do, send an email to hello@pediatriciannextdoorpodcast.com for a chance to hear your voice on the show. I'm Dr. Wendy Hunter, and I'm the Pediatrician Next Door. This show is produced by Red Rock Music. Make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever it is you're listening. I'll be back next time with more.